The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Very busy. Got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's jump right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Me declaring a government official to be incompetent is not a card I play very often. In fact, only twice in my 26 years on the air have I publicly declared a public official to be incompetent. And I was absolutely proven right the first time. And the only reason I would do that is not because I disagree with somebody on policy and issues. I'd be using that word all the time. But no, it's much more than that. I need to have somebody who I trust, who has been in meetings with this person, and who has described to me that they have no idea what they're doing. The first time that ever happened was Scott Kubley, who was the Seattle Director of Transportation. And again, everything I said about him was proven to be 100% accurate. I also, very early on, after Mitzi Johanknik became sheriff, I had some wonderful sources who gave me details that convinced me beyond any doubt that Mitzi Johanknik was incompetent at her job. And again, I know that's a pretty extreme thing to say, and that's why I play that card very, very rarely. But it is our job in the media to be watchdogs of government and to call out incompetency in government. I want to welcome to the show. He's the president of the King County Sheriff's Office or King County Police Officers Guild. Mike Mansanarez joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, really good to talk with you. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Dory, thank you for having me.
And did I say your last name correctly? Is it Mansanarez?
Manzanares. Close, though.
Manzanares. Okay, I apologize, and I got it. Okay, so you heard my initial comments about Mitzi Johanknik. Give me a perspective from the rank and file.
This has been going on for a while, Dory. The previous president, Steve Eggert, was kind of keeping a lid on technically a vote of no confidence. It's not a vote of no confidence, but trying to keep the members happy as we started developing her four-year term, that there was problems. We didn't want to do anything drastic due to the fact that there was the amendments in Amendment 5 and 6 on the ballot last November, because that wouldn't look good if we come out against our sheriff and have no faith in her when we're trying to also fight for an elected sheriff. Then after 5 and 6, obviously failed miserably. And the guild poured a lot of money into the campaign. It was time. We realized it was time because things weren't getting better. And even though her term's up in December 31st of 2021, we decided to survey our members to see how they believe she was doing on the job. And, in responses we got were, now, we didn't get a match. We got about 67% back, which is good for police officers because it's like sometimes herding cats to take the survey and do things. But
and you're all sick of doing paperwork already. Yeah.
Yeah. When we make it really easy because we do it on your smartphones and tablets and computers now. It's not a vote.
Yeah.
So we got 465 members responded back. 190 of them provided comments. Comments that we are not sharing outside the guild board ourselves with our membership because they are damaging and probably not safe to be aired on radio or television for some of these comments. And we decided it was time. You know, the execs come out, some council members came out, and we decided that the rank and file, I can only speak for the sergeants and the deputies that I represent, it was time to come out and ask for her to resign.
Well, what's interesting to me, Mike, is it's coming from all directions because the King County councilman, I think it was McDermott, who called for her resignation, he did it because she sent out a memo that was perceived to be too supportive of one of the deputies who was involved in an investigated incident. And you guys, I would think, would want your sheriff to support your deputies, but you're coming at it from a completely different angle from the King County Council, and yet everybody seems to have reached the same conclusion about Mitzi Jo Hagnick.
They have. I mean, I've spoken with numerous council members. Actually, I meet with all of them. Myself and the president of the Captain's Union, Stan Say, I've met with every council member, and including the exec himself. And three council members told us in meetings on Zoom that if John Urquhart was still in office, they wouldn't even have thought about Amendment 5 and 6. These were specifically aimed towards Sheriff Jo Hagnick.
And so King County, bizarrely, I have no idea. That's one of the most bizarre votes I've ever seen in my life. King County is going to be the only county in the state where the sheriff is not elected, will be appointed by politicians and bureaucrats. Why a voter would say, yeah, I want to take power away from myself, I will never understand that, Mike. Okay, so, but I know you don't want to share the comments. I know that 84% said morale was either low or poor. 96%, this is stunning. 96% said her communication skills are low or poor. I mean, that's almost unanimous, Mike. That's amazing.
It is. And it stems from many things over her term. But biggest thing was last summer, the summer of love, whatever you want to call it. You know, we, during WTO, the sheriff's office represented downtown, and we represented very well under Sheriff Reichert at the time. We lost our funding for our demonstration management team. They took away our gear. And then to find ourselves, many members, including myself, on the front line at 13th and Pine on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock at night till 1 a.m. without proper gear, you know, and communication coming from the top really hurt. And deputies were told to come in and stage in an area where they'd sit there for 4 hours waiting to be told what to do. And just sitting there, just no direction. It was frustrating for my members, for the deputies, you know, because they were called in on days off. It was basically a code red. Everybody get to this staging area. And then it was a sit and wait. Oh, by the way, we have pizza for you because you've been sitting here and waiting for so long. You know, the communication is just poor.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if you know of my recent history with you. I mean, it's really bizarre because Jo Hagnick came on my show when she was a candidate, and I asked her a question that I ask almost everybody who comes on. I said, if you are elected, will you come on with me and answer difficult questions no matter what the issue is? And she unequivocally said, yes, absolutely, I will never duck you. Then we get her on one time. We ask her about the private Uber service for Dow Constantine that the sheriff's office was providing, and her chief of staff, somebody named Liz Rocha, just blows up, starts yelling at my producer, and Jo Hagnick, who said, I'll come on with your show to answer any question, anytime. I've been told, Mike, that nobody is allowed to say my name in the presence of Mitzi Jo Hagnick and Liz Rocha, which is one of the most, and I've been told that by very, very good sources. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. But that's the kind of attitude we're dealing with.
I've been in meetings where that's been said in her office with our monthly meetings with the guild that she has, and there were some you were talking, and she wasn't happy about it. But yes, it's true. I can say I've heard that firsthand. Your name will not be mentioned in her office.
I find that hilarious. I mean, what kind of? Here's the thing about Urquhart. Urquhart came on with me, and I would grill the man. There was this one issue during the campaign about the heroin injection sites, and I was really, really tough on Sheriff Urquhart. And he believed that it was the role of a leader and of a public official to answer tough questions from the media. I asked Joe Hanknick one, not even that tough a question, but one that she didn't like. And I mean, that's funny that you've actually heard that in the media. I did not know that, that you had heard something like that too. But I mean, what does that tell you? So tell me about Liz Rocha, the chief of staff, because her predecessor made $140,000 a year. Liz Rocha was in broadcasting, and because she was old friends with Mitzi Joe Hanknick, she gets hired at $180,000 a year and then yells at my producer. But, I mean, is this problem with Joe Hanknick, does it extend to other senior staff, like her chief of staff, Liz Rocha?
It does. In the surveys that were taken and the comments that came up, I think the biggest question with Liz Rocha, as our chief of staff, was people didn't know her. For 3 years and 4 months that she's been here at the sheriff's office, a lot of people don't know what she does. And she may do great work here that we're not aware of and behind the scenes, but she hasn't come out to precincts and saw the frontline deputies come out, attend roll calls, be seen. I mean, like I said previous on a interview with King 5 was the fact that you have to Google her name. And you do know that she was an investigative reporter, and she was good at what she did. But they don't know what she's doing here, and they do know that she makes a lot of money, and they don't see her. And it's the same thing with some of the other command staff members, including the sheriff. For the longest time, we kept telling come out to the precincts, and the sheriff wouldn't come out. And it's kind of like, you know, you're in the ivory tower, and you forget where you come from.
Well, and that's, you said something really interesting there, because I think, you know, us workers who, you know, we're not management. I think we're okay knowing that managers make a lot of money if they're great leaders and if they, you know, have innovative ideas and if they, you know, their culture is one that is supportive and trickles down. I don't think workers care that much about management salaries. They get it. They get that there's a hierarchy. But if you got somebody who's making $180,000 and nobody has seen the person and nobody knows what they do, then, you know, we got men and women who are putting their lives on the line for a heck of a lot less than that in many cases. And that's a problem. So this is crazy to hear all of this. So you're calling on her resignation.
Yes.
Couple of things. Who would fill the void? I've heard a lot of stuff about this Patty Cole Tindall. I have a lot of tipsters in the sheriff's office, but who would step in if Joe Hanknick resigned?
That would totally be up to the executive to decide. Because of Amendment 5 and 6, he has a right to appoint someone. If she resigns, obviously, before the filing deadline of, I want to say, December 13th, there'd have to be a special election just to fill that gap for 5-6 weeks until the term is up. But right now, I it's up to him. It would be up to Dow.
But it's not going to happen. Joe Hanknick has said, she said she's not going to resign. And I think you and I both know that every month she works at well over $200,000 a year adds to her pension, right? So
it
financially,
does.
Yeah. So she's not going to resign.
No, she's entrenched herself, and she's made many comments to everybody else's call for her resignation, and no different from our call, that she's digging in and that she's going to stay here through the rest of her term. We just, like I said, want to go public, the union, saying, you know, rank and file, we're tired. We need a leader. I have said it to Dow in my meetings with him. We just need someone to lead. We need to boost up our morale. Our morale is really bad. We're losing deputies left and right. We're not at the critical mass that Seattle's at right now. I mean, but we are losing deputies that are just not necessarily lateraling somewhere else, just leaving this career. And that also stems from a lot of stuff happening in Olympia with these house bills,
sure,
where police are target. They're number one right now. And,
oh,
and so my membership is just tired, and we want a leader to step out and say that, you know, at the sheriff's office, we are not, we don't have systemic race issues. We don't have, we do the job. You know, we hold ourselves to a high standard because that is the sheriff's office. We've always been that way. And we just want a leader to lead from the front and be vocal and stand up for us.
And the reason this should matter to everybody who's listening right now, and or I guess particularly the people in King County, is when you guys have a staffing shortage, King County is a gigantic geographic area. You know, driving up Highway 2, you leave King County, and then miles, miles later, you re-enter King County. It's a giant area that you're trying to cover with fewer and fewer deputies, and this becomes a real public safety issue. So, again, this is why I wish Mitzi Jo Hanknik, and I said this a couple years ago, she should do the right thing. She should get out of there. And she should let the people who are really working to keep us safe do their job and be supported, and try to mend these horrible wounds that seem to have been created.
And that was kind of, like I said, the leadership portion. I mean, she has pushed away a lot of great leaders that we've had at this department that helped on her campaign staff. I mean, Jessica Sullivan, who was her campaign manager, great leader. She was a captain here at the sheriff's office. She left. Carl Cole, another great captain. He left. Lisa Mulligan, well-liked chief. And, you know, we're talking chief. Car 3, chief of field ops. She left. Jarrell Wills, Car 4, in charge of CID. He left. You know, and it was just, it's just tough because these are people that we can look towards for leadership, and they're pushed away.
I understand. Well, I appreciate you enlightening us with such an insider perspective as to what's going on. And while you're not getting that from the top, I know I speak for an awful lot of people and most of my listeners when I say that we really sincerely appreciate the job that the deputies and detectives do. And I know you don't hear that enough, but you will always hear that from me and most of my listeners.
Well, Dory, thank you for having me on here. And I can positively say that if you ever want me to come back on your show, I will be glad to. And I'm just a lowly deputy.
So you got it. All right. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Have a nice day. Thank you.
Take care. All right, take care. The president of the King County Police Officers Guild, Mike Mincenares. Man, well, let me break. We got to get to news. But the fact that he confirmed he's heard that they are not allowed to say my name in Mitzi Jo Hanknik's presence. That's seriously one of the funniest things I've heard in my career. So Nicole and I will talk about that in just a minute here as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Get a hit. That got settled, Aaron, for them just getting hit by a pitch break up the perfect game.
I was looking at the stats. This guy is throwing a gem through 7, 9 strikeouts, only 85 total pitches, 61 strikes.
Holy,
I know.
Who is it? Who's the pitcher?
John Means. He has an ERA of 1.43, so he's having a heck of a
never
season.
Never heard of him.
I had neither.
Yeah. Never heard of him. Orioles, huh?
Yeah.
The Orioles had great pitchers. Orioles had 4 20-game winners in one season. You know that?
I did not know that.
1971, Dave McNally, Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, and the usually forgotten Pat Dobson. Only the second team in the history of baseball to have 4 20-game winners in one season.
They must have
How's
won.
That for a factoid?
That's great. They must have won the series that year, no?
Heartbreakingly to me, they lost in 7 games to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow.
The home team won every one of the 7 games.
Mm.
It was heartbreaking. Wow. Yeah. You want their lineup? You want the Orioles lineup in 71?
If you could pull
Don
that
Buford
one out.
Don Buford was in left field.
Okay.
Yeah, Don Buford in left, Paul Blair in center. Batting third, you had the great Frank Robinson in right. Boog Powell, first base. Davey Johnson, second base, usually batted fifth. Brooks Robinson, the greatest third baseman of all time. They would platoon Andy Etchebarren and Elrod Hendricks at catcher. And then you had Mark Belanger, the light-hitting shortstop, batting eighth. There's your lineup for the 71 Baltimore Orioles.
Wow. That is impressive. You did not just Google that either?
No, I swear to you. I had a dice baseball game when I was 8 years old, and I was Earl Weaver managing the Orioles because they were my favorite team.
All right. All right. Well,
there you go.
Well done.
All right. Keep us posted.
We'll do.
Okay. Nicole, is that one of the funniest things you've ever heard? And by the way, I think I said the guild president's last name again, Manzanares, I believe. So you and I had both heard, because we both have, I got a bunch of sources. I have so many people who, email me. I had a very nice person come up to me last weekend and thank me, somebody who worked for the sheriff's office, because everybody there has had it. But you and I had heard, and I'd heard from a pretty good source, but I couldn't believe it. And so Mike says he was in a meeting with Mitzi and Liz Rocha when they said nobody is allowed to say the name Dory Monson in their presence. What are they, 8 years old?
It's hilarious.
It's crazy. They're supposed to be out policing the county, and because Mitzi lied to me and Liz yelled at you, all of a sudden nobody's allowed to even say my name. That is seriously, as far as radio connected, that's one of the funniest things I've heard in my career.
And after that day where that happened, where she came in and Liz got upset and all of that, we've actually had other conversations, and before we started voicing what had happened, we reached out. We tried to make good. We tried to see what the problem was and work it out and say, hey, it wasn't off limits. We weren't told it was off limits,
nothing is off limits. When you're talking to a politician, an elected sheriff's a politician, it's our job to be the watchdog, and we're blowing some like $500,000-$600,000 a year so these highly trained detectives can drive Dow Constantine to bars at night before COVID came out. And I mean, it's crazy. And that's the one question I grilled her on, and all of a sudden, nobody's allowed to say my name in her presence.
Funny. And, you were talking about her salary being quite high, which is, I believe we figured out, was more than Inslee makes. And the previous person that had her job had worked with various council members, had a law degree, had a criminal justice background as far as dealing with those issues, was a city prosecutor, like had all of these and worked for 5 years. And had way more on his resume than Liz Rocha and got paid $40,000 less.
Yeah, well, they're old friends. And that's another huge problem with government.
Paid by us.
Well, exactly. Yeah, so Mitzi Jo Hanknik, like I said, Rocha's predecessor made $140,000. And you just heard, nobody's seen Liz Rocha in 3.5 years. She doesn't go to roll call. None of the rank and file have seen her. Nobody knows what she does. And they're old friends. And so Mitzi Jo Hanknik says, hey, I know this job pays $140,000, but I'm going to give you $180,000 of the taxpayer dollars every year. And then people wonder why they have the lowest support of any politicians in our region's history. Well, it's because of nonsense like that. A bunch of people were texting me about them not being allowed to say my name. I never read Harry Potter. Is that from Harry Potter, He Who Must Not Be Named?
I'm not a Harry Potter girl either.
Okay. Somebody's telling me, it's Lord Voldemort is referred to He Who Must Be Named. I'm the Lord Voldemort of the King County Sheriff's Office. I don't know who Lord Voldemort is, but I think that makes me happy. I'm not sure. Okay. I'll tell you what, let me take a quick time out. We got today signed the end. Oh, yes.
Before
yes.
I think Aaron, are you running back in?
I'm here.
Yeah. He has an update for you, Dory.
What's up? What's the update?
I told you it was a perfect game. And apparently I just got the correction from the Mariners beat reporter. at the Seattle Times. So apparently there was a strikeout wild pitch in the third inning. Sam Haggerty reached first, but then was promptly thrown out trying to steal second. So, yeah, the pitcher for the Orioles there still is facing the minimum, but technically not a perfect game, even though he struck out the only guy who reached base.
I have MLB.com scoreboard. I pulled it up after you said that on my computer, and they have a little red banner on the Mariners game that says perfect game.
Yeah, and I was so it's Ryan Divish, I believe, is the Times Mariners reporter, and he was saying in the press box that the they got the announcement that it's technically not a perfect game, even though the only guy who reached base was struck out. So I don't know how that works.
I know that there was once, back in the 1920s, or 10s. But I know there was one Major League Baseball game where the first batter walked, was thrown out trying to steal second, and then the pitcher retired the next 26. So there's been something kind of like, but yeah, that's interesting. If you struck the guy out, but he got on base, is that considered a perfect game? And that's something I don't know.
Apparently
and I know
not.
A lot about baseball.
Yeah. According to the official score, this is not a perfect game, according to the reporters in the press box at T-Mobile Park. There you go.
Okay, well, MLB.com does not even know that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, keep us posted on that. Appreciate it.
I will.
Aaron's watching that. The Mariners on the losing end of a perfect game or a no-hitter. We don't know which. Today's sign, awesome audio, next. Welcome back to the Lord Voldemort Show. If somebody texts me and tell me, is he a good dude or not? I don't know anything about the Lord Voldemort. I'll Google him after the show. Because I am he who shall not be named at the King County Sheriff's Office. Is this Harry Potter?
Yeah, this is the main theme. I'm assuming.
Really?
I've never actually seen the movie. Maybe I'll skip ahead.
Have none of us read Harry Potter? Is it the author of Harry Potter? Is that J.K. Rowling? Rowling?
Yep.
Hasn't she been canceled?
She's
been canceled.
I think she has been canceled. I don't know about officially, but she's definitely been in the news.
Oh yeah, no. The activist community has canceled J.K. Rowling for reasons that shall not be named by the person who shall not be named. But just take my word on it. Okay.
Yeah, please. Just take
more. I'm sorry. I cannot tell you, and this is probably wrong. I should probably have the exact same or the exact opposite reaction. I should be kind of indignant and upset that nobody's allowed to say my name in front of Mitzi or Liz, but for some reason that just delights me. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
To rub somebody the wrong way like that for doing nothing. We did nothing.
We asked one question.
Since they banned us, then we've done something probably.
Well, that's because we start finding out. First of all, Mitz Jo Hanknik is a liar. That's proven. She lied. Jay Inslee lied about not raising taxes. Mitzi Jo Hanknik lied. I think it's problematic when the head of the sheriff's department, if you have any government agency, I'm doing this instead of today's sign now. I'll still do some awesome money. If you have any governmental agency that needs to be about transparency and integrity, it's our police departments. And the fact that one tough question about how taxpayer money was being spent turned Mitzi Jo Hanknik into a liar and Liz Rocha into somebody who banned my name from being said at the sheriff's office, it's like they are three-year-olds. And, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I mean, while I'm kind of, you know, I think this is very funny, it is also revealing of what all our tipsters have told us over the years. And like I said, only twice have I declared a public official to be incompetent. And in both cases, 100% has that been verified. So I appreciate our sources. That's why we can provide coverage of things like this. I'm not going to say stuff just to curry favor with a politician. If they can take, you know, being challenged and going back and forth, we have a bunch of Democrats who will do that with us. But man, we got like 3-year-olds, Mitzi and Liz, got a couple of 3-year-olds running the King County Sheriff's Office in the way they act. It's crazy. All right, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
The vaccine passports have arrived in Washington. The Mariners, the Sounders, or the Tacoma Rainiers have said that they're going to have vax-only sections of seating. And so, since one of my daughters has not been vaccinated at this point, her choice, her body, her choice. One of my daughters has not been vaccinated, so if the 5 of us, or the 6 of us with our son-in-law, decided to go to a Mariners game, we wouldn't be able to sit together. How crazy is that? How insane is that? And Jay Inslee, he says, oh, they're talking to companies. They are going to try to spread this to airlines and restaurants, and they're going to spread it all over the place.
We have talked to some private companies about incentive packages. I won't go into any detail about right now, but yes, we are talking to them about that kind of thing. And I think that this will increase as more and more people are vaccinated. It's going to make more and more sense for everyone to sign up. So we'll continue to look at those efforts.
Yeah. They incentivize us to sign up so that we, under government's order, get the vax. Then you have Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi. She says that she's not even going to go outside until you get vaccinated.
We need to do this, and it's not going to allow us to be without masks until we all do it, because quite frankly, I'm not going outside until I know everybody outside has had the shot. So I'm going to be wearing my mask probably, you know, into my 90s.
Going to wear a mask into her 90s. Okay, all right. Her body, her choice. Joe Biden. He said, the only time I hear the word slipping associated with a drug is, you know, when I was a kid, of course, I never participated in any of this and I never drank. But they would talk about slipping someone a Mickey, putting some knockout drops in their drink. And then, you know, we would talk to our daughters when they were in college. You know, if you go to a party, if you have a drink, don't set your glass down or your cup down, your red Solo cup. You know, you got to make sure that nobody slips anything into your drink. That's the only time I've heard about slipping a drug. But Joe Biden told us how he's going to get the vax out to pediatricians now.
We're also going to slip vaccines directly to pediatricians, ship them to pediatricians during the following weeks.
Going to slip the kids a Mickey, huh? Jeez, we're going to slip the vaccine to pediatricians, and they're going to try to start vaccinating 12-year-olds, which I think is absolutely wrong. But if you want to get vaccinated, Joe's got the website for you.
I'm going to repeat, we're going to make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gov, vaccines.com, or text your zip code to 438829.
You got that? It's vaccines.com. Okay? That's where you can get your vaccine. All right, thanks, Joe. All right, I got to get out of here. Tom Curley Show is coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon!
Am I going to work there much longer? No, I'm not going to work there. I'm a driver. I'm a winner. Things are going to change. I can feel it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.